Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of the assignment explanation audio for chapter 16. So let's go ahead and start off with part number one. It says, list and define the five stages of change. What are the timelines of each phase? How can you use this information to help your clients? And what stage is best for finding a workout partner? And then you also notice the order of the phases. So all of this can be found right there on page 654 for you. So let's go over that. So the first stage of change is going to be pre-contemplation. Remember, you need to know the timelines associated with each of these. So I'll tell you. Pre-contemplation, they don't plan on changing for 6 months. Okay, we talked about that pretty in detail in the audiobook and PowerPoint lecture. So next you have the contemplation phase. They plan on making a change within 6 months. Next, we have the preparation phase. They plan on making a consistent change in the next 1 month. Then you have action. They have made a change, but they haven't been consistent with it for 6 months. And then maintenance, they have made a change and it has been longer than 6 months. So now that change is more permanent and it's a positive, or it's a new behavior that they have, we'll say, successfully achieved the creation of. Okay, so what else does it say? It says, how can you use this information to help your clients? So recognizing what stage your clients might be in will assist them in moving through that and creating a positive behavioral change towards that maintenance number. So most or clients in preparation typically tend to be looking for a personal trainer. If you see someone that's in the contemplation phase, you can progress them into that preparation phase by offering your personal training services, not directly, but talking to them and educating them about what it takes to get towards their goal, towards their new behavior, that sort of thing. So that's how you can use this information to help your clients. And also you can use it to make sales too. When someone's in contemplation, talk to them about the what it would look like if they were to work with a trainer and how that could assist them in getting towards their goal and achieving this new behavior. And that typically that's going to be a healthy goal achieving behavior. It says also which stage is best for finding a workout partner, the action phase, because when you're action, you want to be committed to sticking to that for 6 months. So finding a workout partner is best for the action phase. And then note the order of the phases. Remember, that order does matter. They can ask a question, what is the third stage in the stages of change model? Okay, so which is, that one's preparation. What's the fourth? It's action. What's the first? It's pre-contemplation. What's the fifth? It's maintenance. Okay, so know the order of those big time. All right, now let's go to part two. It says, discuss and define active listening. Why is it important? List ways that you can perform active listening with your clients. This is on page 665. And discuss or define active listening. Active listening is basically going to be paraphrasing what a client says to ensure that the client knows that you understand what they mean. Okay, meaning that it's a regurgitation of the information that guarantees that the client understands that you're listening well. And asking questions in return about what they were asked or what they're discussing can also be another form of active listening. And that's where you ask those open-ended questions. So continue them to talk. Why is it important? It's important in building relationships with clients and getting them to trust you. Also to convert sales, lots of different things why it's important there. And list ways you can perform active listening with your clients. It's kind of what I talked about. Asking them questions, paraphrasing what they said, and then asking more questions. And being, you can also perform active listening by being physically focused on them, good eye contact, not looking around the room, good body language, being forward looking with them with an open sort of attention atmosphere, that sort of thing. So yeah, keep that in mind. All right, that's on page 665 for active listening. Now let's go to part number three. It says, discuss in detail and give examples of the four various kinds of social support. Is it okay to discuss social support structure with your clients? And where are we at? What type of support would a personal trainer spotter be? Define self-monitoring. List ways self-monitoring is beneficial. Okay, so the four various types of support are going to be the instrumental support. emotional support, personal assistance support, and task appreciation support. Yeah, this is all from the PowerPoint and right there for you on page 673. So let's discuss it really quick. The social support, so you have instrumental support, is that being a good listener, communicating in fitness, and also just being there for the client in the gym. So spotting a client is an example of that. So a personal trainer or spotter is instrumental support. You do need to know that for the test. And is it okay to discuss social support structure with your clients? Yes, and that's that sort of social support structure in the sense of like telling your family members that you are trying to achieve a goal. You know, that's also a form of that social support. And the next one is going to be the emotional support, which is going to be empathetic and provide comfort and be caring. Just basically don't disregard their emotions about their current process to achieve this goal. Acknowledge that it can be scary. Acknowledge that that fear can come up. Acknowledge that anger can come up when you don't achieve your goals. You know, things like that. Next is personal assistance support. This is basically something that can help someone get to the gym. It's something that can help them, you know, eat better. Personal assistance support could be even as simple as like getting them on a food preparation sort of service, or someone that provides a healthy lunch for you. Or takes care of your kids or daycare inside of a gym, that sort of thing. Personal assistance support. And then task appreciation support is the fourth, which says acknowledge the efforts and express appreciation for the work that has been done. Meaning that they completed the task, let's appreciate that task and prove to them that, or basically tell them that great work and be their cheerleader, kind of like I said up in the PowerPoint lecture. All right, so it says, what type of support would be good for a personal trainer spotter? That is going to be the instrumental support. We're hitting that again. Define self-monitoring. So self-monitoring is basically tracking your progress by writing it down, or tracking what you did. You know, how long in cardiorespiratory training, how long was your heart rate at above 120 beats per minute? Write that down. It was there for 20 minutes straight, something like that. Write down what you ate, write down your workouts, all that stuff is self-monitoring. List ways self-monitoring is beneficial, that's kind of what I just went over. All that can be found on 673. And self-monitoring, guys, is just really important. And writing down their food, tracking their calories, tracking their grams of, or the macronutrient ratios, their grams of protein, grams of fat, grams of carbs, all that is going to encourage them to continue to perform good behaviors. That's the main point of self-monitoring, which typically leads to a higher success rate with achieving their goals. All right, so then let's talk about part number four, which is going to be list the meaning of SMART goals, basically define SMART goals, define each term, and then we have a little note there. So let's go over the SMART goals now. So SMART, SMART goals are basically going to start with specific, okay? Meaning you need to be as specific as possible about your goal. Lose 10% body fat. Lose 8% lose 10 pounds of weight in body fat. That's very specific. Then measurable, it needs to be measurable. How are you going to measure body fat percentage? Well, via the Dernan-Wormsley skinfold assessment. How are you going to measure losing 10 pounds? A scale, things like that. Attainable, needs to be, is it, as science goes, is it achievable? That's the main thing. Is this attainable? And then realistic is, does the person believe that they can achieve it? That's one of the biggest things, because if the person believes they can achieve it, they're going to be a lot more motivated to do it. So depending on how the client is, you may want to set, you need to set a realistic goal for them. You know, if they don't think they can lose 10 pounds in a month, then set it at 7 pounds or 6 pounds, something like that, to make it more realistic for them, so they strive harder to achieve it. And then the last one is timely, put a date or a time number. In 4 weeks, I want to lose 2% body fat. That's very specific and very timely. All right, so that's going to be all the SMART goals and defining each term. Then it says note attainable, and also, note the attainable, know and understand that one. And then the client's goals should be consistent with their own ideals and ambitions. We want you to know that. That's a way that NASM can ask, how should you make a SMART goal? Well, it needs to be consistent with what they want. And then also create your own SMART goal and create a program to attempt to achieve that SMART goal. on your newly attained knowledge. Now that you are through all these chapters, you guys need to practice achieving a SMART goal. And then if you're ever in a rut with your client or yourself, you always reset or set new SMART goals. Let's say your client hasn't been showing up for a week or two and you can't quite get them in. Bring them in for a free session to reset your SMART goals, something like that. And all that can be found on page 680 for you. All right. Cool, guys. You've made it through almost all of the chapters. Just take this quiz. Make sure you're scoring 80% or better. Make sure you've written down the answers to these questions. And I look forward to seeing you basically, so after this, you're going to have your practice final exams, which are going to be 120 questions each, three of them, as well as your final exam review, which we'll go over once we get there. All right, guys. Great work. And congrats on getting through most of the entire book. Now just let's dot the I's, cross the T's, get you ready to crush this test by taking some practice tests and making sure you're scoring above a 108 out of 120 on all three before you take the real exam. And also make sure you've completed all the assignments too, meaning you've written down the answers to all of these assignment questions. All right, guys, cheers. Take a quiz below, and I will see you soon. Adios.